Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. Today's guest is Mitch Bynes. Mitch was a successful wrestler, coach, and administrator before entering the private sector, but he continues to impact the sport through his website, KansasHSWrestling.com. The site is an updated and comprehensive look at the history of high school wrestling in the state of Kansas. It contains all of the state medalists and top teams and coaches dating back to 1930. The site also includes those that have gone on to have successful careers at the college level, among other features. If you're not familiar with the site, you really need to check it out. But make sure you have a couple of hours because the site is packed with information and it's very easy to navigate through it. Mitch joins us on the line today. Mr. Bynes, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Coach? Thanks for having me here.
You bet. It's a pleasure to have you, and I've wanted to have you on for quite some time. Just didn't quite fit it in. And let me kind of go on with your bio a little bit here. So you're a 1991 graduate of Atwood High School. You were state champ at 152 pounds in 1991. In 1990, you were third at 152 as well. You were a member of the state championship team in 1989. Coach Woody was the coach, I believe, at that time. You're a two-time JUCO All-American for Colby, interestingly enough. At 158 in 1994, you were fifth place, and you were eighth at 177 the year before in 1993. Graduate of K-State, went on to various coaching and teaching experiences, most notably at Colby, where you brought the state championship to the school in 2001. That title came with eight state medalists, including Matt Murray, who was a two-time state champion and three-time medalist. Murray was also a JUCO All-American for Colby, and he went on to become an NCAA runner-up for the University of Nebraska in 2004. And I bring that up because most of that information was all from your one site, the KansasHighSchoolWrestling.com. So tell us how you came up with the idea of creating the State Placers database, and what was your motivation for seeing the project come to life on the internet?
Well, the story kind of stems from my hometown of Atwood, and I just recently was divorced at the time, and my good friend still that I grew up wrestling with is Scott Urban. He's the head coach at Atwood still, and we had an old state placer board in our wrestling room, and it had filled up. It had got to the point where it needed a new one. And so he tells me, he goes, Bynes, why don't you, since you got all this time on your hand, why don't you go and look this stuff up and make sure it's right so we can make a new board. And so, you know, I went back and I looked, and I don't even remember who had done that board. It's been up there since I was a kid. And I started just going to newspapers, and I go down to the museum and just started looking up old Atwood stuff, you know, going way back to the 30s. And there was a lot of years in there that I found information, and then there were some years where they just didn't print it. There's no stories on it or whatever. And so I got everything done, and there were some mistakes. There were some things that I found that were wrong on the old board. And then I don't even know why, but I just called the Keisha office in Topeka and said, hey, do you have any of this information? And they said, yeah, we do. It's all in these filing cabinets inside here. And so I told the gal down there, I said, hey, can you run me off the some copies of the state tournament? And so she did. She just ran them off, and she emailed them to me. And so, and then I kept calling back, hey, can I get the next 10 years? Can I get the next 10 years? And they eventually said, well, if you want any more, you're going to have to come down to Topeka and get them. And I think I actually did. I think I stopped in there and I got the last 20 years or something of the results that they had. But when I got all that information, then I was like, you know, I had it all, and I got the Atwood board correct. That was done. And then I was like, man, I have all this info and nobody gets to see it. Wouldn't that be cool if it was out there so people could see it all, you know? And so I'm not a website master by any means, but I got on this free website deal and just started typing, basically. And that's how it kind of came about. And you know, I tell people, I said, yeah, but it was, you know, it was like pretty cool at the beginning, because it just, I like, you know, there was 10 weight classes. There were four placers in each weight class, and even and actually the results, some of them just had the top two even then. And so I was able to type a, you know, get through 1 year in about 15 minutes. And so I got, you know, you start typing and go, God, I'm all the way through the 40s. I'm in 1950. And then it just started kind of growing. And then by the time I got to 1973, when Kansas began four state tournaments for the first time, then it's four placers, 12 weights, four state tournaments. And then when you get to 1990, I think it's 92 or three. I think we just talked about that. 92, it goes to 14 weight classes, six placers. And each year to type one of those up, you know, it was taking anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, you know, a piece to just get through 1 year. And so, and then it became, at the end of this project, it kind of just became, just pound it out and get through it. Just, you know, just, I got to do this. I'm going to do another year. You know, it's like that kind of thing. And but eventually it got done. So
yes, and it did. And what year was it when you first had it published to the internet?
I'm going to say, I mean, it had to be, I would say 4 years ago, maybe. I mean,
okay, so about fairly recent. I was thinking it maybe was a little bit longer than that, but okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that first generation website, and then the evolution to the current site. And do you have plans for new features or expanding the content?
Yeah, what I did there at the beginning, it was just raw data, and it was just what it was. And then I tried to, it was just a couple years ago, I tried to do something else on it, and I couldn't get it done. So I got a hold of this web design people. I don't even know how I got them, but they happened to be from Iowa. And this girl Ursula, who I don't think is like a wrestling person, but she knows wrestling, knows what wrestling is because she lives in Iowa. And so she was the one that helped me, and she is a wonderful person. And so we put that together, and I said, here's what I have. And she was able to do a whole bunch of different things to make it so it could be, so people could navigate on it more easily. Whereas before I had so much data, and it was bogging down, and it was slow, and it was hard to read. And especially like on your mobile phone, it was difficult, and I didn't know how to do any of that. And so I actually hired her to do all that, and you know, and it cost me quite a bit of money at the time. But like I said, it was just so well worth it, because she got everything organized, and now it's pretty easy now.
Absolutely, and you know, it's like I said, it's very easy to navigate. You know, to the point where, you know, oftentimes what I'll do when I'm looking for a guy that I, you know, maybe is a couple time state champ, and I'm thinking, was he also a medalist in the other years? You just go to the find feature, put their name in there, and it comes up with all the hits with their name. And so it's not only the internal navigation is very good, but also the little tricks you can do to find things too are very simple. So absolutely. It's a great, great model for what all states should be doing with their information.
Yeah, no, it's neat, and like I said, I've added some things here and there, just you know, some things that have popped up in my head, and I did the College All-American thing later, and when I did it, it was hard to find that information, because you know, again, you're trying to look up stats from a national level at a national tournament, and you don't necessarily know who was from Kansas or not. And so I kind of had to go by just name recognition, you know, do I recognize that name? Is that Smith, the guy from at Kansas, or is he from, you know, if he's wrestling for the University of you know, Tennessee Chattanooga or something, you don't know where what state they're from. And so it was, yeah, that was kind of hard, but I've gotten a ton of feedback from people on corrections and some things like that. That's really helped get things right, you know?
Yeah. And so, that was another, you know, question I had was how you go about that, verifying it, because maybe Keisha has it wrong, but somebody says, well, hey, I was at that tournament in 1973 and I remember this happened. How do you go about verifying, you know, what this person is saying is the correct information?
Well, right. That is a trick. And I haven't run into too much of that. I'll tell you, there is one I did know because I was like seventh, eighth grader in high school. And I remember all these guys from the 3-2-1A state tournament, all those guys I looked up to when I was a little kid. I can remember that what they placed. And I know that the Keisha results were wrong in like 1984. Or 1985. I mean, they were wrong, and I was able to remember that from just remembering it, and a few of the old Atwood guys that they had placed wrong, and so I was able to get that right. And I even called some of those guys up and just said, "Hey, you didn't get fourth, did you? You got third." And they goes, "Yeah, I beat what's his name." And the guy would send me a article that shows that he beat this guy at the state tournament.
Oh, yes.
I'd even do that. So did that a little bit. So
I suppose a guy could, you know, almost make this a full-time job by adding pictures and video and all that kind of thing. But are there any, do you have really what you want right now and are going to update it from year to year? Or are there some other thoughts of things you want to, directions you want to take it?
Well, for right now, when I got this last bit done, I feel pretty good with the thing. You mentioned that search thing, and I do wish there was a way to search things a little bit better. I'd asked our web design team. I said, "Hey, what can you do?" And they basically said, "Well, there's definitely something you could have done when you first started, but you basically would have to start all over." And I was like, "Well, okay,
I don't want to do that.
I'm out of that deal." So, for really, yeah, if we could get into the picture thing or the video thing or something like that, yeah, that would be phenomenal. I just don't know how much data I could have or how much more time or where you draw the line on some of that stuff. You know, what things do you put in, what things do you not? You know, that'd be the only thing.
So what, you know, initially, especially, what was your plan or protocol for updating the site after the state tournament each year? Because it seems like you had it updated this year before the ink was dry on the final bout sheets. I mean, it was bam, updated. So what is your, you know, thought or protocol for how you update it each year?
I just type it in. I mean, it's all I have to type it. I'm able to do, I can copy things off of like Track Wrestling off the results and paste it, but I have to then kind of reformat it a little bit, so it's the same as what I've done in the past, which makes things a little bit easier, but it's still it just takes a little bit of time, but it's not too bad. So, I mean, as long as I'm alive, I'll just keep doing it. I mean, it doesn't take very much time now, you know, each year. So, it's pretty simple. And like I said, I kind of enjoy it. And, I've always kind of been a history guy anyway, and this wrestling history has always been interesting to me from where I grew up out in Atwood.
So there are costs associated, costs with your time, costs with hosting. And I see you're running some banner ads on the site now. For those who would like to financially support your effort, how can they contribute to the cause?
Oh, just contact me on that site. Absolutely. I'm selling really cheap ads. It's just something to, because it costs money to have the site. It costs money to have the KansasHSWrestling.com domain name. And so it does cost money, and we got I've gotten a lot of donations when this first redesign came out. If you enjoy this and you like it, I mean, we've gotten by with paying for it here, but I would sure take any help that anybody wants to throw out there.
Absolutely. I mean, I know money's tight for everybody, especially now with the COVID situation, but it's definitely something worth it. You know, the history of our sport in the state of Kansas, you know, I think it's worth looking into. And again, the site, KansasHSWrestling.com, all one word. And if you haven't been there, you know, you need to go. Let's have a little fun now. There's some things that just struck me a little bit, and you know, research you can do. But you know, you talk about going back to the 1930s, and last year our team's theme, because of the Olympic year, of course it's another Olympic year already, but dealt with Pete Maringer and his fascinating story. But that's, you know, goes back to the 30s. Now, Keisha wasn't established until 1956. So who governed the state tournaments prior to that? And does Keisha recognize, you know, the state honors and things before 1956 in the sport of wrestling?
Yeah, they do. Absolutely, they do. In 1930, when you read that story, because there's little stories that I wrote in some of these, and that was all printed in this Keisha manual. But it talks about the first tournament was held in Manhattan on February 28th, and the B.R. Patterson of the State Agricultural College, K-State at the time was what it was called, they put it on. And that's where the first state tournament was at. 1930, of course, is won by Douglas. Wichita East was second. We do not have who all the other placers. We just have the who the champs were that year. And one of them, of course, was Pete Maringer from Kinsley. Who went on to be an Olympic champion in 1932, just 2 years later, actually. It's pretty crazy. He won the Olympics in 92 in LA, and he placed second in the NCAA for KU, for the Jayhawks, wrestling in the Missouri Valley Conference. And so that is definitely one of the most amazing stories from just right there, you know, a kid from kind of western Kansas that goes down there and wrestles. Now, the research I did in Atwood, even there was a bunch of guys from Atwood who were like undefeated and going there. But when you get to talking about travel for schools, 1930, 1935, I mean, you're talking depression, you're talking Dust Bowl, you're talking some major things. I mean, I don't know how those kids even got to Manhattan from some of these places, you know, like I'm assuming parents had to drive them, and you know, it's in February. It could have been easily been could have got snowed out or stuck, and the travel would have taken. I mean, you're coming from St. Francis, Kansas to Manhattan. I mean, that's a 5 hour drive right now. And I mean, I don't know if it took you a couple of days to get down there in a old Model T car. I don't know. It's kind of crazy, you know. So there had to be kids that didn't make it there. I mean, there just had to be. There had to be kids that had wrestled all year and just didn't even make it because it was too far, or your parents didn't have enough money to take you, or you know, the school. I mean, it had some of that had to be pretty difficult there in the throughout the 30s, I would think.
Absolutely. And that's a thing that this can spur on, you know, some of those stories. So talking about that you kind of mentioned a little bit the class system, but so from 1930 all the way to 1965, it was a single class state tournament. And in 1935, there was no state tournament for swimming or wrestling. 1966, 1970, there were two classes, and then it was only three classes for a couple of years from 1971, 72, and then 73 to the present, four classes. 1975 and 76 were the only 2 years that Grand State was held. And before we started recording, I told you I'm not originally from Kansas, but I knew as a kid of Grand State. So when I moved here, it was really interesting that it was only held for 2 years, because it was talked about and really held in high regard. So that was really interesting to me. And then again, 1992 is the first year that they started awarding 6 places. Prior to that, it was just 1 through 4. So what other little nuggets stand out to you, or big errors maybe that you've caught, or just interesting stories within all the stats that you've gathered?
Well, when growing up in Western Kansas, Northwest Kansas in particular, you know, I just always heard that's where wrestling started. Wrestling started in Northwest Kansas. And there's actually Brad Fredrickson, state champ from Oberlin and a state champion coach from Plainville, where his son just won the state championship in Marysville a year ago. But he always just tells a story of that, because he's from Oberlin, that there was some Russian, a little Russian immigrants out there that started wrestling and they had turnbuckles and ropes that they'd put up at the gym. Like, and there, he was talking like the 1920s, you know, back in there, and that's how wrestling got introduced. But when you look at and so to me, I'd always just thought, yeah, wrestling started with those kids. And that's true, but that's not entirely true. I mean, when you look at my site, and obviously when you look back in the 1930s, there are two distinct bubbles where wrestling began in the state of Kansas. And one is Northwest Kansas. Oberlin, you could probably put as the center. Colby was influential, Atwood was influential, St. Francis, and Norton. And so you're talking Highway 36, and then throw Colby in there, and that's kind of the mecca of the Northwest Kansas. That's where it began, in those towns. But then also at the same time, Wichita had a very big presence in wrestling, and the city of Wichita and the surrounding areas, which I would include would be Douglas and Ark City and Winfield and even Hutchison. At the beginning, okay, so there's two bubbles where it began, and really nowhere else in the state there was wrestling in 1930, 1940s, a little bit in the 1950s, but those bubbles just kind of grew as the years went along, and they grew from those areas. There wasn't another bubble that just all of a sudden pops up in Kansas City or pops up in Dodge City. They grew out from those two distinct areas. There's no doubt about it. And so it's real interesting, because that's where all the power came from. And even going back to a little bit of my Atwood history, we had one of the wrestling coaches that was hired there in the 1940s was a guy named Mac McClellan, who he actually fought in World War II. But before that, he graduated high school from Wichita East, which was the powerhouse in that time, the 1930s, 1940s. They were one of the best teams in the state. Well, that's where he's from, and he got hired in Atwood as the wrestling coach, and then became principal. And then you can just see his influence. Then he was the one hiring wrestling coaches in Atwood. And my first little kid wrestling coach was Gus Garcia, who was from Douglas, because the guy from Wichita East, who is now hires a guy from Wichita area to come back and coach and blah, blah, blah. So you can just see that those influence from those two bubbles. And they knew, like, if you're from Wichita, you know there's good wrestling in Northwest Kansas, and you also know that there's good wrestlers from Wichita. And so that's where everybody was getting the creme of the creme, right? So it's pretty interesting to follow all that history, you know, and where all these guys are coming from, you know.
It really is. I mean, I think you've got a book in you. I think you could take that. And, I mean, that is just really interesting, and almost, you know, like unveiling, you know, a mystery novel almost, you know, of how things spread and how things got going and the connections, you know, that connect to today. I mean, I think that's really mm-hmm. really interesting. How about some family names that come up throughout and kind of some threads? What anything stick out to you in that way?
Oh yeah, I mean there's a ton of them really. But the one of the most interesting stories is the Harrison family from Hutchison. I just find amazing to me. It's kind of unique. But the and I don't and you were just talking we were talking earlier here, but you coached in Newton. You know this story even better than me. But the Harrison family, of course, had a son and four daughters, probably in the night, and they're all probably in the 1970s, probably
Probably,
graduate
yeah.
high school, or they were those kids were. Well,
Yeah,
they all
Kelby
had
was
kids. All
probably early 80 grad, probably.
those. Who was that?
Kelby Harrison.
All his sisters had kids, and their boys are all cousins, obviously, but they're Cody Garcia, the Metzler boys, Zach Roberson, and Judd Schrader, all wrestling from different schools, all wrestling in Kansas, but all just unbelievable wrestlers from little kids all the way to the college, the best of the college level. Just an amazing story. And the Harrison, so is Kelby the son, the boy,
Yes.
the Yeah, and you said his son just was a state champ or runner-up a few years ago
Yes.
at
And you know, as
Newton.
we were talking, Mitch, again, just to use this site, in the 30 seconds that you've been talking there, I looked it up, and in 1983, Kelby was a runner-up at 112 pounds in 1983 5A.
Yeah, and that's just an amazing story. And we joke about it, and you're just like, and all those little kids, as 10-year-olds or 8-year-olds, at Thanksgiving, at grandma and grandpa's. I mean, that would have been the brawl of brawls if all those guys, like those little rugrats running around, all about the same age. That'd have been just a battle royal, I would think, with those guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just amazing to me, that story. There's a lot of coaching stuff. We lost a couple Mount Rushmore of coaches just in the last few months with Jake Durham from Norton and
Yeah.
Rocky Welton from Garden City and Goodland. And just great men all around, well respected by everybody, peers and foes and opponents and former wrestlers. I mean, just great people. And there's several of those. Some coaching stats, which is interesting. There's only been, of all the coaches, there's been four guys who have won state titles in 3 decades, which is, to me, kind of a longevity award. Like, hey, you didn't just get a handful of kids thrown at you and you're a state champ. I mean, anybody could do that. Just, those years where you just got to get the bus to the
Yeah.
gym, and you're going to win. But Larry Gable was one of them. Larry was came to St. Francis in the 70s. He won 2 state titles in the late 70s. He won two more in the early 80s. And then when his boys got his boys and his assistant coach, Steve Jenkins, when their boys all were in high school at the exact same time, and they won 2 more state titles in the 90s. Wayne Jackson from Ark City, obviously, he's 13 state titles. He's won those in just barely. He just won one in the two in 2000, which got into the third decade, but he was a 3-decader. Billy Johnson just became a 3-decade coach last year. He just became the fourth, but the third one is John Lippelman from Scott City, which always surprises a lot of
Yeah.
people. But he has won 3 state titles, or he's retired now, but he won 3 state titles, state titles in the 90s, in the 2000s, and the 2010s. He's won in 3 different decades, and those are the only four that have done it. And
Wow.
I just think that's a pretty amazing coaching feat also,
That
you
really
look at
is.
the, and if you've ever been to Beloit, Kansas, I mean, that's another amazing little run that they had in the 80s. Ken Piazza was their coach, and some of those guys, I've talked a lot of, I know a lot of those guys, some old Beloit guys, But you know, they won. Ken won four titles in a row, and then he left, and then they won it again. So Beloit won five state titles in a row, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. They won two or three and 3-2-1A and 2 or 3 and 4A. I don't remember which one, back and forth. And so it was like, it didn't matter where we're at. We're just going to win. And that's what they did. And there was a year, I can't remember which year, but there were 12 weights and they had seven guys in the finals. They had six state champs, I think. And I think it was in 82 or three.
Yeah.
And I remember always looking at their, wall in their wrestling room, and it just give you chills, you know, just like, holy cow. Can you believe being in that, on that team, you know, and you're standing there in the finals for the state tournament. Half the team, half one side is Beloit. It's like Beloit versus the state, you know, almost. So that'd been pretty cool.
Another interesting feature you have on here is the records and stats, you know, and it shows the list of the four-time state champions, you know, the most individual state champions for a school. So just, again, you dig into this thing and it's really got some interesting stats and also kind of a sense of pride for Kansas wrestling on you know, what we've done beyond the Kansas level as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm very interested in the college thing too, you know, and you growing up in Iowa, you were aware of the college thing. Me in Northwest Kansas, I mean, at the time, I mean, I think in the 90s, 80s and 90s, I think a lot of guys would be the same way. We were just like focused on high school, and we had very little exposure to college wrestling, you know, on TV or anything. And just, there just wasn't around. We just, like, I never even thought about it really very much, you know? So, I mean, you knew all those all American guys. And I mean, it was like, for me, I mean, I was a huge sports guy. I didn't know any of the wrestling guys going on or anything like that. But, I do now, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I do
yeah.
now. And I think the kids growing up in our state are, you know, and of course with technology and everything else, you're just so much more exposed. But the thing about the college, when you start looking at the college, but whatever Kansas was doing, and a lot of this has to do with the little kids programs at the time or the parents and the wrestlers themselves. But when you start looking at the college results from like 2002 to 2008 or 9, 10, like there's about that decade right in there. And so to me, if you would like go back from 2002 to go back 10 years and say, what was Kansas little kids wrestling doing then? It's like, whatever we were doing then, because we produced some of the most amazing wrestlers in our state's history at the college level during that time. I mean, just unbelievable talent we were cranking out. That and so whatever we were doing before, you know, in the early 90s, you know, however you're coaching these kids, they end up being some of the best wrestlers in the nation, you know. And
it's thick in those years, you're right.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. You know, we, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, Matt Murray was who wrestled for me at Colby. I also had, coach, Eric Ludke and his brother Zach too, and all the Ludke boys, but, Eric Ludke, who was also a two-time, All-American at the University of Iowa, and got third, you know, I was able to coach two Division I All-Americans at my time in Colby, which is just insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know if that even happens. But you had, you know, there were some years in there that were just unbelievable. Where you know, national champs from the Division I level, Division II level, the JUCO level, the Division III level. We had wrestlers all over the place just doing well. And that has to say something. We were, and that was rare before that, and it hasn't been that prevalent since then. But boy, those years in there, like I said, whatever we were doing before
absolutely.
That was working well.
So we've been visiting with Mitch Bimes, creator and curator of the Kansas Wrestling Database, KansasHSWrestling.com. Mitch, thanks for taking the time to join us today, and thank you for your great service to the Kansas wrestling community.
You bet. Thanks for having me.